What do you think has happened to this mythic idea of the hero in our culture today?
It comes up in an experience. I think I remember during the Vietnam War, seeing on the television the young men in helicopters going out to rescue one of their companions at great risk to themselves. They didn't have to rescue that young man. That's the same thing working. It puts them in touch with the experience of being alive. Going to the office every day, you don't get that experience, but suddenly you're ripped into being alive, and life is pain, and life is suffering, and life is horror. But by God, you're alive, and it's spectacular. And this is a case of being alive, rescuing that young man.
But I also know a man who said once, after years of standing on the platform of the subway, I die a little bit down there every day, but I know I'm doing so for my family. There are small acts of heroism
right.
that occur without regard to the nobility or the notoriety that you attract for it.
That's right.
And the mother does it by the isolation she endures in behalf of the family. Of the raising.
Motherhood is a sacrifice. On our veranda in Hawaii, there are little birds that come that Jean likes to feed. And each year, there have been one or two mother birds. And if you've ever seen a mother bird plagued by her progeny for food, that the mother should regurgitate their meal to them. And the two of them, or five of them in one case, flopping all over this poor little mother, they bigger than she in some cases, you just think, well, this is the symbol of motherhood. This is just giving of your substance and everything to this progeny. This should be it in marriage. A marriage is a relationship. When you make a sacrifice in marriage, you're not sacrificing to the other, you're sacrificing to the relationship. And this is symbolized, for example, in that Chinese image of the Dai Chi, the Tao, you know, with the dark and the light interacting. It's a well-known sign. That is the relationship of yang and yin, male and female, which is what a marriage is. And that's what you are. You're no longer this. You're the relationship. And so marriage, I would say, is not a love affair. It's an ordeal.
And
the ordeal is sacrifice of ego to the relationship of the two-ness, which now becomes the one.
One not only biologically, but spiritually, and primarily spiritually. But the necessary function of marriage in order to create our own images and perpetuate ourselves and children, but it's not the primary one.
No,
as you say.
That's really just the elementary aspect of marriage. There are two completely different stages of marriage. First is the youthful marriage, following the wonderful impulse, you know, that nature has given us in the interplay of the sexes biologically, and in then the reproduction of children. But there comes a time when the child graduates from the family and the family is left. I've been amazed at the number of my friends who in their 40s or 50s go apart, who have had a perfectly decent life together with the child, but they interpreted their union in terms of relationship through the child. They did not interpret it in terms of their own personal relationship to each other.
Utterly incompatible with the idea of doing one's own thing.
It's not one's own thing, you see. It is, in a sense, one's own thing, but the one isn't just you, it's the two together. Mm. And that's a purely mythological image of the sacrifice of the visible entity for a transcendent unit, cracking eggs to make an omelet, you know? Mm-hmm. And by marrying the right person, we reconstruct the image of the incarnate God. And that's what marriage is.
The right person. How does one choose the right person?
Your heart tells you it ought to.
Your inner being.
That's the mystery.
You recognize your other self.
Well, I don't know, but there's a flash that comes and something in you knows that this is the one. Hmm?